This is The Change Up. I'm Keith Hernandez. During our short break from interviewing this summer, we decided to reflect back on some of our great past guests. This week, we're highlighting some of our female entrepreneurs from season 1 and 2 to reflect back on their experiences in the male-dominated business world. For many of them, the challenges start even before they can get their foot in the door. The founder and CEO of Kinship Advisors, Alexis Feaster, reminds us that women just want to be given a chance to prove themselves.
You don't owe me a responsibility to hire me, right? But we owe each other a shot. And I think that at the end of the day, like, give me a shot to pitch you. Not pitch you because I want XYZ name on my roster. It's because I see something in you.
Other entrepreneurs we spoke with also noticed the double standards in the industry. Melanie Diesel, the founder of Story Fuel and the co-founder and VP of marketing at The Convoy, noticed a pay discrepancy between her and the men, despite doing the exact same thing.
I think the moment where I decided I needed to start paying was I had found out that I was at some conference and some dudes that were there, no offense to dudes, but there were some dudes there and the dudes were getting paid and I wasn't. And we were doing the exact same thing. And that made me just angry enough to like finally make that switch and be like, no, I'm going to ask to get paid too. Like, this is not fair.
Ainsley Fender, the founder and CEO of Atlas Solutions, detailed her frustrations with the questions posed to women and mothers that are never asked to their male counterparts and the pushback women get for asking for more equality.
And it's one that I've talked to a lot of people about because it's very frustrating to be judged for something that you literally have no control over. Like, I cannot fix my femaleness. Not that I even want to. I like being female. Like, why is that a problem? And so we were trying to raise some funding and I heard things like, how much time can you actually dedicate because you're a mother? And that question was presented to me by a father. It's been a middle-aged white man's club for a really long time. Those are the only people that they've interacted with for years. So it's asking a lot to all of a sudden be like, hey guys, like, let's include everybody. And the one thing that I keep saying to people, because I've talked to other like white male founders and they're like, but do I have to go without just because you guys want more? I'm like, no. I'm not asking for your chair. I'm asking for you to let me pull up a seat to the table. I'm not asking you to pull up the chair and put me in it. Like, I'll pull my own dang chair. I just want you to move aside so that I can sit at the table too.
Michelle Hayward, the founder of Positive Hire, dives into the lack of women and diversity in leadership in a company. If a company has to hire out to get a qualified female candidate, it indicates that they weren't mentoring and training women employees properly from the beginning.
And that's why I specifically say experience. If you say we're looking for women who have 10 plus years of experience, and I ask you, well, what about the ones who are already there? They probably don't have any, especially if their culture is bad, right? And it's like, well, we haven't been able to, and it's a conversation about why. And then they're telling me where they are in their path on diversity, equity, inclusion. But too often they focus on the early career because they don't have to take responsibility for the women who were already there before.
Because so many female entrepreneurs have to fight to get to where they are. Once there, they often have a level of doubt and frequently lack a real mentor. Lindsay Kaplan, the founder of Chief, shared her experiences of growing into a title and how it felt facing new challenges.
When I started at Casper, I wasn't really VP. They gave me the title. They're like, there's 5 of us. You can call yourself whatever the hell you want. But over time, I did kind of actually grow into VP. I hate imposter syndrome. I hate that phrase. I hate that term. But I will say I knew what I was doing. But suddenly, as the challenges got bigger, I had no one really to turn to. I suddenly felt really alone. And there was nobody for me to get support from. If it's lonely at the top, it gets lonely a lot faster when you're a woman.
Most of these women are used to being high achievers. For people used to success and accolades, it can be hard to accept criticism. The founder of the subscription box service Little Global Citizens, Akila Qureshi, explains how it is even harder to pull out the constructive criticism and not focus on the negative feedback.
I think for a lot of people that are used to being successful and used to being achievers, I think that when it is your own business, you just cannot help but take everything personally. I think it's quite hard, unless you have a team with you, to sit and look at those comments. And often they can be constructive, but it takes a really strong person to be able to take their own personality and their own ego out of it and to subjectively look and see, is this person actually telling me something valuable, or are they venting their own issues?
From a business perspective, there can be many benefits to women in leadership roles. Claire Mazur, the founder of A Kind, discusses the positive aspects that come from female relationships in business.
And really it explored like what it is about female friendship that in an office or in a business environment leads to better business results, and how you're starting to see business norms change because women bring themselves to the office in that way, whether it's like about transparency or collaboration and creativity and very basic things like the way women tend to share really easily with one another. And so what it can mean for a business environment if the people that you're working with understand what sort of wins, losses, trials, tribulations you're dealing with at home and how that impacts work.
One thing that nearly all of our female entrepreneurs brought up was the desire to help other women achieve success. Julia Alexander, the co-founder of Exec Online, shares her thoughts on creating opportunities and the benefits of mentorship.
As a woman of color for myself, there just aren't that many women of color that have to date raised the amount of venture capital we have. You know, there are still less than 100 Black women in the world that have raised more than $1 million in capital, and we've raised 90 million. And so what to do if you are one of the first? One is to certainly be committed to not being the last. And that's why we're really working hard to open the lanes of opportunity. But then what I've also found from a mentorship perspective is to find someone whose journey might be similar to yours.
Michelle Hayward, the CEO of Positive Hire, founded her business due to the desire to help other women succeed. She saw a missing link and was determined to help provide it to other females in her field.
At the same time where I'm seeing so many women struggle, I was seeing a few that were being very, very successful. And what was the gap? What was the difference? And how could I bridge the two? And so I started, even before the concept of Positive Hire, I started doing virtual summits. It's normal now, but in 2017, it wasn't normal. And what I found was there was a gap between what the women that I focused on were being told to advance their careers and what their counterparts were being told. They were getting told, oh, keep working hard, but their counterparts were being coached, mentored, had sponsors, were getting training outside of their technical expertise. And I started offering that.
The managing partner at Sabasika Capital, Winnie Sabat, also chose to focus on helping women and people of color succeed. Capital raising is notoriously difficult, but especially so for women of color. Sabasika Capital focuses on helping them beyond just raising the capital.
The numbers for capital raising are abysmal for women. It's about 2% of overall capital go to women, and it's even worse for women of color. 0.32% goes to Latinx women, and 0.0006 go to Black women. So we want to be able to provide access to capital to all those women, but also help them to level set their business and where they're not basically bleeding money, considering that very few women who raise capital even raise $1 million+.
Others, such as Soledad O'Brien, are helping women before they decide their career path. Soledad's Powerful Foundation has been helping send young women to college and provide them the support and mentorship they need to be successful.
You know, I just was meeting so many, mostly girls, who really were trying to figure out what to do. And they had nothing. They had no resources. I mean, it was interesting. Probably the first time that I met people very close to me that I became very good friends with who had zero options at all. Meaning when I was a student or when I was working at NBC, you know, we all had little jobs. And if you needed something, you had a cousin or a friend or an aunt you could crash with or a sister or somebody. But it was amazing to me that there was just nothing. They'd lost everything in Katrina, and there was no relative who wasn't there who could say, I got you on this. And so we decided to start this foundation to send girls through college. It was amazing. It's been a real blessing.
These amazing women entrepreneurs have achieved success and have learned a few things in the process. Many of them talked about the importance of balance in their life and how to model a healthy work-life balance. Brittany Chavez, the founder of Shop Latinx, shares how she shows up for her team by taking care of herself.
Being a founder, it's like an accelerated course in understanding yourself emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, from a leadership standpoint. And then company culture starts at the top. So if I'm not in tip-top shape, if I'm not getting my 8 to 10 hour, yeah, I sleep like 10 hours a night. And so I have to show up for my team every day, you know, and those I would say I learned from them, I'm sure just as they learn from me, but because we're such a small team, they look up to me. You know, I mean, I hope that any team member would look up to their boss, or I hope any boss would have that kind of impact on their team member. But yeah, I got to like show up for them.
Michelle Pinzak, the founder of Squared Away and a military spouse, reminds us that we can't do it all. And there's no harm in getting help if it will help create a better balance.
You can't do it all, regardless of whether or not you ever want to. You can't do it all. There's always going to be 10 different tasks that you want to get handled at the end of the day and that you just didn't have enough hours in the day for. Our smallest plans start at 5 hours a month. Just imagine, even if you were to give away something as small as, say, order my groceries and book my kids' appointments for the next 6 months.
She also reminds us that there is life beyond being an entrepreneur and how it is okay to prioritize family.
The biggest thing has been when it comes to my family. As a founder and CEO, the email doesn't have to go out at midnight. You don't have to be doing emails when your kids are trying to show you something. You don't have to be stressing out about a tomorrow problem. Your kids are right now.
Shira Atkins, the founder of Wonder Media Network, discusses free will versus the idea of predestination on her career path.
I mean, I also feel like everything happens as it has to happen because it's happened. So even in dark moments, I surrender to the fact that this is the story that is being written. Not that I can't also write my story. You know, I go back and forth between feeling like I have free will and have none at all, but there are ramifications beyond our wildest comprehension. Like you mentioned, you know, get your champion at P&G and expect a check 18 months later. Like what happens between the first email, the email that you never thought could actually land, and then like getting the check is like probably some combination of like synchronicity and dumb luck.
Ultimately, all of these women took a chance and fought for themselves. The path was not always easy, but for the entrepreneurs we have interviewed, like Haley Rosen, the founder of Just Women Sports, their determination pushed them forward.
For better or for worse, I didn't overthink it. But one of the things I learned along the way is there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs for sure. For us, it was about going into it with positivity and self-belief and, you know, not letting the highs be too high, not letting the lows be too low, and just determined to put one foot in front of the other. And I mean, it remains to be seen if it's going to work, but we're pushing.
Thank you for listening to this week's special episode of The Change Up. If you would like to learn more about these accomplished women entrepreneurs, you can find them in season 1 and 2 of The Change Up. We'll see you soon for season 3.